Are you a compassionate person? Do you think the Church of our Lord is a compassionate group of people? God's Word instructs us that we are to be compassionate. For example, in 1 John 3, after in several verses emphasizing the kind of love that we ought to have for one another and reaching out to people, it says in verse 17 that if we have this world's good and we shut up our feelings of compassion toward others, that we have no right to claim to be God's people. Certainly we are to be a compassionate people. But I admit to you very freely that I have some concern about some of the things that are being said by some in the church about the subject of compassion. Back about 3 weeks ago, maybe four, a couple articles appeared in the Jackson Sun reporting statements that were made by some of our gospel preachers, in fact, some who are friends of mine, made in Nashville about the church in today's society, in today's world. One of those articles called for drastic change. We dealt with that subject last Sunday as we noticed that, yes, we do need to change our hearts. Sometimes maybe we need to change our philosophy and our own positions and our own procedures, but never shall we try to alter or change the eternal purpose of God, the blueprint of His pattern that's in His Word, or the plea that's there in the restoration movement to go back to God's Word and to stand on His Word in all the things that we can do. Another word that has been used in some of these articles is the word compassion. In one of them, there was the statement made that we need to get away from defending doctrine and negative preaching and show more compassion in the church. Well, I resent the idea that the church has not been compassionate. And I resent anybody who suggests that. I'm sure that each one of us could do more in areas where compassion needs to be shown, and I would think that all of us need to work to grow to be more and more compassionate. But brethren, it is just not the truth that the Church of our Lord has failed to show compassion. If I had the time and you would stay with me, I believe I could take this entire day and just tell you of things that I have seen with my own eyes, where the Church of our Lord has, over a period of years, reached out into the communities to show compassion. I remember, for example, when I was working at the Madison Street Church in Clarksville a few years ago, that it was not uncommon for us to get a call from the welfare department suggesting we have some needs that we cannot meet, and we believe that knowing what you do in the community that you can meet these needs. There have been times since I've been a part of the work here at Henderson that we've received calls from human services and from other governmental agencies in this community letting us know of ways that we could reach out, and the reason we got those calls is because the community of Henderson knows that this is a compassionate group, that we are interested in helping people who have needs. And I could take the city of Nashville in Middle Tennessee, where I have spent most of my life, and I could give you documented evidence of work after work that's being done to take care of orphans, fatherless children, widows, older people, organized works that are done in communities to reach out to the homeless and to those who are hurting on the streets. Not just something we hear about, documented evidence of things that are going on and have gone on. And in a congregation such as this here at Henderson, we probably do more in the area of benevolence and showing compassion that never shows up in our budget than what does show up in our budget. I could tell you about time after time after time that I have seen the people of this congregation rally when there was a need for food, when there was a need to supply articles of furniture. I would estimate at least 1,000 different pieces of furniture have gone out from the families of this congregation to people in this community and to other states. One family in the audience this morning will remember when we put together 2 truckloads and sent where there was a burnout in another state. We see this going on again and again and again. I could relate to you instances where I have been at homes of people who were hurting and see again and again those that are members of the church here reach out by coming, telephone calls, being there, getting gathered together to help someone who's less fortunate. And because of that, I just admit to you that I'm just a little bit resentful of someone suggesting that the Church of our Lord has not been compassionate. I think sometimes we can easily allow ourselves to get caught up with what's going on during the times in which we live and not see the forest for the trees and make some rash statements that are just not true. Again, let me emphasize, all of us can improve. And all of us need to look for ways to improve, but it is just not the case that the Church of our Lord has failed to show compassion. And then the second concern that I have about what's taking place in these areas is that some are suggesting that if we show compassion, we've got to get away from defending doctrine, that there is a conflict between the two, and that there should never be anything that is negative, anything that is condemned, that we've got to get away from that, and we've got to make people feel good. Folks, I agree that we need to help people feel good, but feel good about the right thing, and not feel good in the wrong place and under the wrong circumstances. Having said that, let me study with you for a few minutes on the subject of compassion. I want to do 3 things. Number one, remind us of how compassionate Jesus was. Number two, show how we are to be compassionate if we are Christ-like. And number three, remind us of some things that do not conflict with compassion on the part of Jesus or on our part either. Jesus looked out at the multitudes that had been with him for a period of time, and according to Matthew 15:32, it says, "I have compassion on the multitude." They were hungry. Jesus was compassionate to those who were hungry. On another occasion, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 14, verse 14. And in the 20th chapter and verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight. Jesus was compassionate to them, and he fed them. In his case, miraculously, but nevertheless, seeing that their needs were met. Jesus was compassionate to the sick, and he healed them. When he saw someone who was blind or deaf or lame, he had a feeling of compassion toward them. And in these passages, at least, he reached out to help. In fact, a description is given of Jesus in Hebrews 4:15 that indicates that he is compassionate to all people who are hurting. Although it's given in a negative way, it teaches a positive lesson. It says, "We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, the positive statement that's in that verse is that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling. And that is another way of translating the idea of compassion. Someone who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he was tempted like we are tempted. He understands, he has been there, and he has a heart that can be touched. I believe that Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God today, hurts when I hurt. And he hurts when you hurt, in the sense that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And there is also every indication that though he does not approve of the person who's living in sin and living outside of him, that he is concerned and has compassion, and he hurts for that person also. Jesus had compassion toward those that were hurting. The compassion of our Lord was not limited to physical compassion or compassion about physical things. The Bible points out very clearly that he looked out at those who were lost and had compassion for them. One case in point is Matthew 9:36 and 37. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. When Jesus looked out and saw people who were lost, he had a feeling of compassion. He cared about them. He wanted something to take place. But you will notice in passing on this point that he wanted to send somebody out to bring in the harvest. He did not want to leave them out there where they were. He did not want to say, well, you're okay out there. I just want you to know I care about you and that I'm compassionate toward you. But he began to do something about the need when there was a need. Jesus was compassionate to those who were hungry, those who were sick, those who were hurting, and to those who were lost. And the same Bible teaches you and me to have that same kind of attitude. An attitude that we've emphasized and underscored again and again and again as we study God's Word and we think about practicing Christianity in this community. For example, in Hebrews 10:34, he tells us that we are to have compassion. The writer of Hebrews specifically here says, you had compassion on me and my bonds. That suggests the idea of caring for people who have problems. In 1 Corinthians 12:25 and 26, he said that we ought to care for one another as members within the body. And he went ahead and says, when one member suffers, everybody ought to suffer. When one member rejoices, every member ought to rejoice. The idea is caring for one another and sharing with each other. As indicated in that passage in 1 John 3:17, if I have enough of this world's goods to help you and you have a need, and I'm not concerned about your need, I have no right to claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If I shut up those feelings of compassion and concern and care for you and for other people, as long as there's one person who is hurting and has a need, and I fail to do what I can to reach out and care for that person, I have no right to claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Certainly we are to be compassionate to those who are hungry and those who are sick and those who have problems and those who are hurting. Even sometimes, though we may not understand all their conditions, we're to have that compassionate attitude that Jesus had and that he displayed. 1 Peter 3:8 says we're to have compassion one for another. And that, along with other passages, indicates that we're to be willing to put others before ourselves, and we're to take an unselfish attitude in service, which perhaps is the key word in describing what Christianity is all about. In Luke, the 10th chapter, in the story of the Great Samaritan, we have an example of compassion toward those who are hurting. Here's a fellow who had fallen among thieves, and the Samaritan comes by. This fellow's a stranger to him, but he's hurting, and the Samaritan cares. The Samaritan has compassion. He's talking about helping to take care of neighbors, and he uses this example to show that you and I ought to be willing to reach out to our neighbors and to help, even if they're strangers, even if we don't know them very well, to reach out and take care. This man had compassion on him, and he took care of the wounds and took him that he might be cared for at another place. You know the story. But one word that's emphasized in that is the attitude of compassion. When a person is hurting, I don't care what the hurt is, you and I, if we're going to be Christ-like, ought to be filled with compassion. And then there is the example that's given in the story of the prodigal son that indicates to us something about the kind of compassion that we ought to have one toward another. The word compassion is used to describe the father in this case, and I realize the father here probably represents God, but the principle is there for us also. When the prodigal son came back from his sin and living in the mire of sin, the Bible says the father had compassion on him. And he went out to meet him and to receive him and to take him back and to do what he could to encourage him. And I think that's simply saying that he was willing to forgive him. He had a compassionate feeling of forgiveness. Sometimes you and I may fall more short on this point than we do some of the others. Sometimes we're not as quick to forgive, and especially to forgive completely, as we might ought to be. And even to forget, in the sense that we do not hold something against a person. Compassion involves forgiveness, and the seriousness of it is, according to Jesus' teaching in the prayer he taught his apostles to pray in Matthew 6, and in his comments just after that, is that we cannot expect God to be compassionate in forgiving us if we're not willing to forgive one another. And so there is no question that as Christian people, we are to be compassionate. We are to be like Jesus. If somebody's hungry, we ought to have a feeling of compassion. Somebody is sick or hurting or lost. We need to be compassionate, and that compassion doesn't just mean a feeling, it means an attitude that is expressed in action toward those who are in need. But folks, being compassionate doesn't mean compromising the truth of God's Word. It doesn't mean that we cease upholding the fundamental principles of doctrine. And the word doctrine in the New Testament simply means teaching, doctrine of God, teaching from God. We do not need to compromise anything that has to do with the restoration plea or the eternal purpose of God in order to be compassionate and to show compassion to those that are around us. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and verse 2, the word compassion is used in this sense. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? In other words, are we just going to leave a person ignorant of God's plan and out of the way, out of Jesus Christ, and just continue to show compassion? He's saying that's not where real compassion is. We do not show compassion by tolerance of sin. That's not what compassion is. Oh, we're to have compassion, verse 22 of Jude 3, but he says there's some that we may even have to snatch out of sin as it were snatching them out of the fire. You see, compassion doesn't mean leaving the person in sin. It means helping that person to realize that there is a better way and helping to bring that person to Jesus Christ. Compassion doesn't mean ignoring the need to correct the fault. And when someone says, oh, we've got to quit teaching so much and defending so much doctrine and reach out to people with compassion, I believe there is a very basic misunderstanding in that approach. Do we quit teaching that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Do we fail to teach people that Christ established His New Testament church? Are we going to cease teaching that people need to be in Christ and in His body to be saved, that there is where the answer is, that there is where forgiveness is? And just go out into the community to those that are downtrodden and hurting and say, oh, we want you to know we care. You just stay right where you are. We're going to feed you and help you. We're going to fellowship with you. You just stay right where you are. We know you care. Oh, no, that's not what compassion is. One day this week, as I was listening to the news, report was given of, I believe, a 2-year-old child who had picked up his father's pistol that his father had left lying by his couch as he was sleeping. The little 2-year-old had picked up that pistol and shot and killed himself. Now, if you had been present as that 2-year-old started to reach out for the pistol, what would you have done out of compassion? What would compassion demand that you do? Suppose you saw a child about ready to be run over by an automobile, and this has happened. And the only way that you could keep that child from being run over was to run and hit him and knock him out of the way. What would be the compassionate thing to do? To hit him and knock him out of the way. You certainly would not be showing compassion if you stood back and let that child get hurt. A teenager is making mistakes in his life that may result in a dreaded disease or may result in an unwanted pregnancy. What's the compassionate thing to do? Is it compassionate to say nothing about the wrong involved and just say to that teenager, oh, I want you to know I love you, put your arm around him and say nothing to teach him what is right and to help to turn his life around? What is compassion? And folks, people who are outside of Jesus Christ, even some who claim to be doing things in His name, but will meet Him at the day of judgment and have Him say, I never knew you, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, what is the compassionate thing for us to do? To never teach them any doctrine? To never emphasize to them that the answer is in Jesus Christ and just say, oh, everything's going to be all right. We want you to know we love you. We want you to know we care. And we're not going to draw any lines of fellowship. Well, folks, the compassionate thing for a person who's out of Jesus Christ is to do something to get him into Christ. That's what compassion means. Kindness, yes. Love, yes. Care, yes. meeting his physical needs, yes. But that compassion does not conflict with the fact that salvation is in Christ and nowhere else, and a person outside of Christ is lost. And when one of our own goes astray and becomes involved in sin, are we compassionate just to leave it alone and say nothing about it? Not even go to the person and show concern? Well, I think you know that if we are compassionate and we care for someone who is living in the mire of sin or is away from Jesus Christ in negligence, that if we really care, we're going to go to that person. Patience, yes. Kindness, again, yes. But also firmness in standing for what is right, and realize that we have not helped the person if we leave him in the wrong and leave him where the problem is, but that compassion means helping to turn that person around. You cannot find one place where Jesus in compassion said to a person who's having problems, you just stay right in the problem and I'll love you. Jesus didn't say stay, he said come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. There's where his compassion was, in providing a way of escape and inviting people to come to him. Folks, Christ was compassionate. You and I need to be compassionate. And we need to work on this and pray about it and grow in it day in and day out. But compassion does not mean that we alter God's plan and just leave people where they are when they're lost. I believe I know the heart of Christ as it's described in God's Word. And I know my heart. There is a feeling of compassion toward you if you're an alien sinner and you're lost outside of Jesus Christ. We are compassionate toward you. There is a feeling of compassion on the part of Christ and on the part of Christians who care. But let me tell you something. I'm not compassionate to you if I tell you, you just stay right where you are and you'll be all right. But compassion demands that I tell you, if you don't do something about where you are, you're going to be lost. But the answer is in Jesus Christ. If you were to come by my house later this afternoon and you knew I was in that house and you saw the house was on fire, what would be the compassionate thing to do? Just to holler in and say, Brother Platt, I want you to know I love you. No, the compassionate thing would be to try to get me out of that burning house some way. Out of love, yes, but to get me out of that burning house. And when we try to get you to obey the gospel, that's compassion. Not to stay where you are, but to come to Christ. And when we work and work with those who have gone astray as Christians in the mire of sin and in negligence, and we plead with you and beg you to repent, that's compassion. Why, to say you just go right on living like you are and doing like you've been doing, and we're going to say nothing about it, and we're going to condone it, and we're going to tolerate it, that's not compassion. That's not compassion. Compassion is a kind but firm approach to help people come out of the circumstances that are wrong and into the relationship that's right. Jesus was compassionate. We are compassionate. But compassion includes standing where the Lord stands and letting him be the answer. I would compassionately persuade you, if you're not a Christian or a wayward child of God, not to stay, but to come to Jesus Christ, where the answer is, as together we stand and sing.
Jesus is standing, calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why, from the sunshine of...
might be better shared and not overlook those kinds of things. The women knew their role. They knew their responsibility. They did not participate in public assembly, but their ideas were sought and their suggestions were sought. They were listened to. And in a business meeting, through a tremendous process, a group process, and we came up, first of all, with a three-year plan, and we followed it. And we published it. And then followed with a five-year plan, and we followed it, and we published it. We put it in the hands of every member of the congregation. Everybody had input into it, and everybody had a part of it, and everybody had ownership. Then in summer of 81, the congregation said, let's do a seven-year plan. And this document is what basically kept us on track. When somebody placed membership in the congregation, one of us, and for a while. I served there several years before we moved. I served as an elder. One of the elders would go out and sit down and say, this is what this congregation is about. And these are our goals. And these are the responsibilities. And these are the tasks that we'd like you to buy into. We want you to know what we're about, scripturally, goal-wise, and task-wise. Every member had a copy of this, and we refer to it regularly, and it's very productive. The congregation today is 19 years old. Edna and I are beginning our fifth year at Fried Hardeman, one of the most tremendous and richest blessings that have come our way. We're still